Father, we've confessed our sins. We come in the wonderful name of Jesus. And again, we come to say thank you, because we are truly aware that it's not everywhere that you choose to visit. It's not everywhere that you choose to manifest the weight of your glory. And so we are truly privileged in this house. And in particular, I myself am privileged to bring the word today. As I come, we come to share this word. We are acutely aware again of our limitations in and of ourselves. The limitations of the human mind that is yet to be perfected like the mind of Christ, both to deliver as well as to receive this word. So we come to plead for fresh mercy. In particular, I plead for a fresh outpouring of your mercy upon me. I strip myself voluntarily of every confidence I might have in my preparation, what I know. All that does not matter now. All that matters, Father, is your mercy to be faithful. And Lord Jesus, your grace to be diligent, and your help, Holy Spirit, to bring forth this word as a word in season. I ask you make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, to write your will upon the hearts of your people, that Lord, as wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will be present to back up these words, causing men to, Lord, not to be hearers only, but also to be doers of the things which they hear and learn, that they may be blessed truly in all that they do in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because the hearts of your people are prepared this day. We bind every spirit that seeks to steal the word of God from the hearts of people. We break every power, the yoke of the spirit of heaviness in our midst in the name of Jesus. And we say, let the word go forth as a river of refreshing, a river of life, to bring, Lord, life and healing and, Lord, enlargement to the people who hear it, myself included. That, Lord God, that this word will go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, an eternal word being wrought in the lives of all in the name of Jesus. And I speak, help me to be precise, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be concise. I will not say anything unnecessary. Bring it forth from out of the treasure of your word, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. And I speak, your power and your presence will fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and therefore submitted to your will, O Lord, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered even further by the precious fruit of your spirit, especially divine love, in the name of Jesus. Finally, I ask, O God, for mercy. I humble myself afresh, and I take upon me the mantles of my fathers in the house. And I ask, as I speak, you help me to speak and to bring forth this word as they would what they hear personally. And Lord God, as I speak, Lord, the word will go forth in power as a river of life, bringing refreshing to all of us, but especially to them. And Lord, as they drink of this vine they have planted, as they eat of the fruit of the same, let them be abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you. You do exceeding abundantly, Lord God, of all we can ask or can imagine, because you are faithful who has promised, and you will not lie unto David. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, I believe. Yes, 19. We stopped in verse 18. Verse 19. Acts 3, 19, we'll start to read. Let's read it together. Now, this is the solution. Of course, we just spoke about what he was talking about. It's the part of the sermon. This is now the solution that Peter was bringing, which we were talking about. Now, let's read together. So, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto thee. Him shall you hear in some things, all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. We'll take this step by step. There's so much in this place. I'm not sure how much we can finish today, but let's go. Well, so we see here, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This verse is loaded. Anyway, here we go. So he's giving a solution here, like we said. He says, the solution is for you to repent of all these things you have done, you know, the killing of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming together with the leaders to crucify him, says repent. Amen? This is a solution. And preacher is preaching the same message he was preaching in Acts 2, verse 30. There was only one message to Israel at that time. Repent, receive the baptism of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let your sins be blotted out. And he was repeating the same thing again. We saw this in Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, where he mentioned repentance. He mentioned the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mentioned the remission of the sins. He also mentioned, incidentally, baptism in water. But in this particular part, when you compare the two sermons together, he mentions also repentance, says repent ye. And then being born again, says be converted. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he also mentions remission of sins. It says that your sins may be blotted out and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We're going to tabernacle there a little bit today. Amen. But what we're trying to say here is that he doesn't in this part mention baptism in water. Amen. So in other words, like we said earlier on, baptism in water is not an essential prerequisite for getting born again. It's not a prerequisite for getting the power of the Holy Ghost upon us. Amen? It was just an outward manifestation of a spiritual truth, which they used as a symbolism of what had already taken place. That is not to say we don't believe in water baptism. We do, and by the grace of God, I'm trusting that we'll do some water baptism this year. Amen? Because I know some people have come in already who have yet to be baptized in water. But the essence here is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not essential for all these things, for getting born again, for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, for having your sins blotted out. But several things here. Number one, repentance simply means a change of mind, a change of heart. Amen? And this is where salvation begins. Amen? Salvation begins with an admission of guilt. You understand what you've done? Amen? God says, I confess. Say, Father, I confess my sins. I confess I've been a sinner, but I don't want to be a sinner anymore. You confess that sin, you change your mind, and then you repent. Amen? So, after the admission of personal guilt, then you repent to receive the salvation through the remission of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ goes into operation. It blots out and removes every sin that may have been there hitherto, and then you're born again. Amen? And then said the word, be converted. Now, converted is a little bit misleading, because you know, sometimes when the translator did this work, sometimes the words they used were a little bit different from what God tries to say. When you convert something, let me give you an example. For example, you have a warehouse, and you want to convert it to a church. You take out all the stuff inside and you put it together. But the essence is, it's still the same warehouse. So the new is based on the old. Do you understand? It's like you convert, maybe you convert a car from a limousine, from a regular car to a limousine. That body structure is still, it's like, you know, using the new based on the old. It's not a conversion. It is a birth. A birth. You don't get converted to be born. You are born. Tell your neighbor you are born again. You are born again. This is something that, people, say a little bit of misunderstanding about. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, says, when you're born, it says, all things are passed away and not some things. Give me that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I believe. Yes. Luke says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away. And behold, one or two things, everything. You never existed before. That's what you say. You must be born. Now, I know there's a problem in our mind because we have all these old memories in our minds. God will take care of that. Amen? Over time. Amen? That's why one of the first things you do when you get born again, you begin to renew that mind in God. You never existed before. When you said, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, my Christ and Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit came to work upon you. It removed the sin nature by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Then the Spirit of God injected the very life of God, the very nature of God, and your human spirit is not converted. It is created. Amen. You never existed before until you got born again. When you get born again, you're a brand new. It's not like this thing amazes me sometimes. When you go to a place and people don't understand what it means, they say, I'm a born again. What in the earth is a born again? Is that a fraternity? It's not a club that's saying I'm a Kegite or I'm a whatever. You're not a born again. You are born again. You are born of God by the incorruptible word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're not converted. Don't let anybody give you the wrong word. So that is interesting. Now, secondly, we now use the new nature in our spirits, the power of the Holy Spirit, the born again human spirit that has been created in the likeness of God. All that sin, the fountainhead of sin is cut off. Amen. So sin cannot enter your spirit. That is marvelous to me. Cut off. So all you have to do now is to take care of the residual sin nature, the mind, the will, emotions, and the physical body by the power of the Spirit that God gives you. Isn't that a great deal? That's what all this is all about. That's why we're all here. Amen. Somebody say amen. God said, use that born again to cleanse ourselves. He says, having the air for these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of every filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. All the residual sin nature, the mind, the will and emotions, the body. And that's what we call perfection. Amen? You are not converted. You're not an old structure, or panabite. You are not panabite. You are made anew in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! Okay. Then it says, the third thing now, and I saw it says, the times of refreshing. It says, whom the hell of it said that your sins may blush out when the times, that's a plural, remember, of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. And this refers to the refreshing that comes from the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When we get born again, we receive the baptism and infilling, or we should. Not everybody does, because there's always this funny controversy about why on earth will God give you something that's bad? Will God give a bad thing to his people? No. It says if you ask for fish, will he give you a serpent or a scorpion? No. It says God gives good gifts. The Holy Spirit is a good gift which he gives to his people. Amen? And so we receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that the refreshing is what comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Very simple. Give me Isaiah chapter 28 verse 11. Hallelujah. Talking about the times of refreshing. He says, it's not time. It's not just one time. Give me that. It says, for with stammering lips. Let's read it together. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people. Next verse. For to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to what? Rest. And what? This is the refreshing. In other words, those stammering lips, those other tongues, that speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, that's the refreshing. Sadly, what does it say? Yet, they would not hear. That is a tragedy, really. It's a tragedy. That God has given you this avenue of refreshing, this avenue of dwelling in his presence. Amen? These tongues. Even Paul quotes this particular scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. Give me that scripture. I want to show us something there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2. I think, yes, where it says, yes. Say, for he that speak, no, is it 4:2? That's about to men. Where it says that, that with men of other tongues. Verse 3. Okay, give me the next verse. Thank you. Next verse. No. Where is it now? 14. Verse 21. Forgive me. Verse 21. I wrote it down. Yes. Yes. It says, in the law, referring to that scripture we just read, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I what? Speak unto these people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. That scripture has been fulfilled right as we speak. There are myriads of people, Christians, who do not believe in speaking in tongues. It's a sad, Pastor preached about it, so I'm not going to get into it. But it's a sad truth. He said, they will not hear me. But what I want us to see is this. It says, in the law, it is written, look at that, men of. What does that mean? It's in italics, which means that it was inserted by the translators and not necessarily was in the original scripture. It was just given there to give what they thought was the right meaning. So remove that. What does it say? It says, in the law, it is written, with other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. In other words, when we're talking to a person, we're speaking divine hidden secrets. We're speaking mysteries unto God. We're speaking the things that eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man. The things which God has provided for you and I in God, the glory. So you got to, I cannot understand why somebody would read this and not understand. You need to speak in tongues and receive that refreshing. It's refreshing. I can tell you several times we've been to prayer. Many, many hours of prayer. After a while, you suppose one should be tired. No. But there's a now your physical body may be, but there's a refreshing that comes in that presence. You begin to see things anyway. When you do a 3 or 4 day fast. Amen? We're going to be a lot of fasting this year in Jesus' name. Oh, that amen was not, it was not a joyful amen. But it's going to happen. Whatever you learn, this is a year of seeking the Lord. Pastor Lee was preaching that on Wednesday. Start to seek the Lord. Amen? To come and rain righteousness and glory upon us. Amen? But the essence here is that, this is people are saying that tongues is the refreshing. That's where the refreshing comes, in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So make it a point of you to speak in tongues, pray in tongues, continue to commune. As you're communing with God, He's speaking to you, you're seeing things that you never thought before. Sometimes you're communing and God just speaks and says, wow, I never saw that. It's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. It's a great, it just makes you know that God is ever present. He's there. Amen. So it says, repent, receive forgiveness, the remission of blotting out sins, become born again so the times of refreshing can come upon us, upon them. Amen? And through the infilling and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says here, there's not just one time of refreshing, but there are times of refreshing. We said, anytime we pray in the Spirit, in tongues, we receive a refreshing. We commune with God. We have fellowship in God's presence. The Bible says in His presence is what? Fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. However, again, prophetically, not just speaking in tongues now, but there is more than one time of refreshing. The first time of refreshing is what Apostle Peter was referring to in this particular verse we're talking about. That was a time when the power of the Spirit was poured out upon the earth for the first time. Amen? That was a time of refreshing. When the Spirit of God came, the earnest of the Spirit came upon people, and people were born again. They began to speak in new tongues. They began to receive the refreshing from the Spirit. Amen? That's what Peter was referring to. And all those who received and walked in at that time were refreshed. And then they now went out to bring refreshing to the whole earth. From Jerusalem, they went to Judea, to Samaria, and there unto the uttermost parts of the earth, bringing the water of refreshing. Bringing the water of life to all the earth wherever they went. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. Says, he that believeth on me out of his belly shall do what? Flow rivers. What does rivers mean? Refreshing. Brings. And then he said, there's another passage, I think, in John somewhere. It says, he that drinketh the water that I give him, said he shall never thirst. How many people never want to thirst again? Thirst for goodness, thirst for the goodness, the presence of the Lord. This is it. Said, the water I give you shall be an everlasting well and spring it up unto eternal life. Amen? That was one refreshing. How much more now? Hallelujah. How much more now the outpouring of the Spirit without measure that is imminent? Hallelujah. That's why he said times. Times where there's more than one time. At least two, if not three. Amen? Times of refreshing. Amen? And we've come to that time where God is about to now pour out the water of the Spirit without measure. The people are going to see the river of life flow out of a people. Out of a people, beginning from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And that river of life will flow, first of all, to us in this land. Hallelujah. Then out of this land, it will flow to Africa. Hallelujah. Then from Africa, it will flow to all the earth. River of the Bible says anywhere. How many remember the river I'm talking about? The one in the river in Ezekiel. It says everywhere that river of life floweth, it brings healing, it brings refreshing, it brings many fishes forth. Amen? Everywhere it touches, it brings refreshing. Amen? This is what the whole world is waiting for now. The whole Bible said the whole world is groaning under the weight of abounding sin and corruption. And it's this river of refreshing that begins the outpouring of the Spirit without measure from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that will bring refreshing and revival to the whole earth. There's another scripture that God gave me. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Hallelujah. It says that when in the time of the latter rain, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Quickly. Are we getting something out of this? Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Zach 10. Zach 10. Praise the Lord. Shake out the hammer town of there. Thank you. Ask ye of the Lord rain. What does rain do? It brings cooling. It brings refreshing. It brings the dew of heaven. Hallelujah. The rain in the time of, what time are we in? In this time of the natural rain, and what the Lord says, and the Lord shall make bright clouds. Bright clouds, that doesn't just mean, you know, clouds. I'm talking about clouds of apostolic prophetic fathers. Amen? Who have revelation on it, the rain of the doctrine of perfection and the fullness. And give them showers of rain to everyone, not one or two people, not one place, everyone, grass in the field. Refreshing. This is the time of refreshing the Lord has promised us. This imminent time of refreshing is what the whole earth is waiting for. Amen? And guess what? By the grace and the mercy of God, you and I are poised in the plan of God. Just like Israel was. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? The same way, natural Israel was first to receive the time of refreshing that brought the earnest, so spiritual Israel from the black race beyond the rivers of Ethiopia is now poised to receive the outpouring, not the earnest, not but the fullness, to manifest the glory of God in great and mighty signs as never before seen upon it. That is your privilege. That is my privilege. Give the Lord a clap up in somebody. Amen. Amen. But you know what the key is? The power of the Holy Spirit. That's where the refreshing begins, and that's where it continues. As you remain in the place, that's why I say this year is a year of fasting and prayer. We're going to key into that refreshing. And then we will now be a refreshing unto all the nations of the earth in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. This is where it's going to happen. Beginning from us. The Father says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Oh, no, he said, the last shall be first, and many that are first shall be last. Which means that not all, but many. Amen? Some of the people of Israel will key into this revival that's coming, and they'll be partakers of this first, of this outpouring from that goes from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia to the whole earth. Okay, so let's go back now to verse 20. So we see that repentance brings the times of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, look what it says in verse 20. It says, and it shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times. Again, use the plural. So until the times of restitution, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Isn't that awesome? In other words, we are not following cunningly devised fables. We are not doing things which have been haphazardly put together. We are following a plan which God has laid out since before. Well, God is not doing these things. He's not ad hocing. I don't know. Forgive my English. He's not taking here and there and putting it together. It's been settled. Amen. God has shown us this wonderful word here. Has shown us exactly what God is going to do. And we know that God is not a man to lie. So he's been preaching it. That's why I said the children of Israel had no excuse. Every one of them knew the word. They knew about the Messiah. They knew. But you see, when the time came, God forbid, because they did not, you know, stick with the word, they missed God. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. God has been speaking this in loud and clear since. So Peter is now referring to the return of the Lord Jesus to reign on earth, and is making the point that it is repentance by those who hear his message, have their sins blotted out, receive the refreshing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that will begin to precipitate then the return of the Lord Jesus to earth to fulfill this word. Amen? It says, whom the heavens must receive. They all saw him go to heaven. To get him back down, these things that were going on that he was preaching about had to come to pass. And it was showing that natural Israel had a significant part to play. And that's why the repentance was so important. That's why it's so important for them to repent, so that God could now give them the Spirit whereby they now begin to work out what will cause the Lord Jesus to return back to earth. Do we get it? So if it was so for natural Israel, and those days, these people, they thought Jesus was coming back, you know, in a very short while. They didn't think it was going to be, you know, hundreds of years. They thought it was coming back now. So if it was that urgent to them then, How much, thank you, Pastor D. How much more should it be urgent to us now? Amen. Because then, just like now, we're looking at it face to face, just that we have not seen the manifestation. But just as it happened then, the disciples were in the place, the upper room, they were fasting. Oh, shit. Here we go again. I can't get away from that word. They were fasting and praying in the upper room, seeking the face of the Lord, and then it came. So also now, same thing. It's not going to change, folks. It's not going to change. God had planned it on the wings of that seeking the Lord, fasting and praying. Seek the Lord, for the time has come for the Lord to rain righteousness upon us. Break up your fallow ground. Same thing is going to happen today. Amen. So the earliest Christians, so Peter is telling them they do or they do not do, or what they do well or don't do well, can either speed up or hinder the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same here again. We see the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says that, you know, we should hasten the coming of the Lord. Amen. In other words, we can hasten or delay, just like Peter was saying to Israel. We will not delay in Jesus' name. We will hasten the coming of the Lord in Jesus' name. The time has come. Amen. But until the conditions are fulfilled among men on earth here, the heavens will retain him. That's the truth. That's what God said. And he's been saying it since way back. Now, again, we said the Apostle Peter uses the word plural. Said the times of restitution, plurality. It was times of refreshing, and it's also going to be times of restitution. Now, one such time of restitution is upon us now. Restitution simply means restoration. So when I say restitution, you know, people have this doctrine of restitution. We're not even going to go there. Let's not even go there. The restitution is not a doctrine. It's just a word. But the essence of restitution is, you know, that there's a buying back or a restoration of things. Just, instead of restitution, think restoration. So one such time of restoration is upon us already. Hallelujah, somebody. Yes, sir. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord to the church. Malachi chapter 3. Give me chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi 3, 1. Quickly. Help the Lord. We should be able to finish this today. Behold. Let's read together. Behold. I will send, hello, my messenger. And he shall prepare the way before me. Now, this is where we're going. And the Lord whom ye seek. Hello, somebody. The Lord whom ye seek will not come until the messengers have prepared the way. That's why I say, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restoration of all things. But the time has come. It says, whom ye seek shall suddenly. He's not going to announce himself. That's the God of suddenness. And that God that hideth himself. One day he'll hide himself, one day he'll just make himself manifest. And then suddenly, I say, ha, 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 ha. That day will not take you unawares in Jesus' name. That day will not take me unawares in Jesus' name. That's why it's good to be in his presence. Times of refreshing. Whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of your covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord, and the word must be fulfilled. Next verse. Hello, somebody. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand? I will stand in Jesus' name. I don't even want to take that scripture for yourself. Say, you will stand. I will stand when he appeareth in the name of Jesus. Even though he comes like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap, I will stand in the day of his coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 verse 3. 3 verse 3, sorry. Next verse. Quickly. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Why? What is the object? That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Which means that it was not in righteousness before. That's what he's coming to restore. That he may come and rain righteousness upon us. That's why he's coming. Too long has he waited to see righteousness in the earth. And he's coming to bring that righteousness forth. Amen? He's coming on. That he may offer an offering of righteousness unto the Lord. The Bible talks about the church that is free. That's what he's coming to restore the church, to remove sin from the church. He's going to have a church without spot, without blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. Holy, without blemish. And it's now this restored, get this now, we're talking about the times of refreshing, help me Lord. It's now this restored, sanctified Zion church They will now go forth and disciple the nations, breaking, ruling, and disciple nations. And then after some time, when they finish that job, it will be taken away. And after the Great Tribulation, there's another time of restoration. The Lord God appears in the heavens for the millennial reign. Amen. And this time, he's going to come to restore not the church, but the earth. Yes. To himself. Amen. Now, this is a partial restoration in the sense that what he does is that he takes the Antichrist. I'm going over so many scriptures, but I want to quickly finish it. He takes the Antichrist and the false prophet, casts them into the lake of fire. He takes Satan and he throws him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. This is also a time of restitution, a time of restoration, a time of return to the owner. Amen. Of the earth itself. Who owns the earth? The Lord. And the fullness, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's coming to possess his possession. For 1,000 years, and you know, this thing always amazes me, help me Lord. 1,000 years of sin, it's not that we're even imagining again. He's sitting in Jerusalem, ruling in Jerusalem. Through his saints all over the earth. Against the word, the angels go forth and do, his saints rule all over. For 1,000 years, no devil. And then after 1,000 years, this is amazing. So just how wicked the hearts of men are. I say hearts of men are wicked, desperately wicked, above all, who can know it? And then 1,000 years after the devil has been incarcerated, nobody to foment sin, amen? He says now, he releases the devil for a while. And there are still people on the earth that will follow the devil. Ah, the heart of man truly is wicked. And the only thing, the only antidote into it is repentance, the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why being perfected is not an option. It's not an option. If you have a fifth column inside you, the devil will pull such people. All it needs is a little bit of leaven. He will cast out the old leaven in Jesus' name, and Israel will become a new leaven in Jesus' name. So this happens. But what happens? The full and the final time of restitution will then come. After this millennial reign, we know what happens. All the devil's released from Peter, like I said, and he, you know, tempts all those. God is using him as a sweeper to get together all those rebellious pieces in the earth to final cleansing. All of them will follow him. As of your father, the devil, and his ways you follow. They just follow him, and God will. He won't even waste time. When they are gathered together, just send fire from heaven. Everybody, lake of fire, cleanse all the earth. Amen. And then what does he do? He now returns the created universe back to the true owner, God the Father. Give the Lord a clap, offering. Hallelujah. Amen. It's still not full yet. It's still not full yet. He returns in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says that God will now be all. Give me that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. We're going to read that and then close. Help you, Lord. Are we getting something out of this today? I'm trying to give you an overview of what God has been speaking from the time since the prophets began to speak, which is going to come to pass, is coming to pass. Amen. It says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he was he, the Lord Jesus, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Next verse. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Next verse. The last thing that should be done. Next verse. I want to see if there's something I'm going to. Yes. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he's accepted which did put all things under him. Who was that? God the Father. Next verse. For, and when all things shall be subdued unto him. Who's him? The Son. Then shall the Son also himself, glory to God, hallelujah, be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The times of restitution of all things. So God now takes back the preeminence in all of creation. You know, he gave Jesus a name that a name every God now, Lord Jesus now submits that name back to the Father. Isn't God wonderful? See, this is humility. This is real humility. God gave him a name, he gives it back to God. at the end of all this. But the time restriction is not yet fulfilled. What happens? Then God now creates, hallelujah, a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Everything is burned up. The whole planet is completely consumed by fire. And then God recreates. He says, I will create, I will make a new heavens, a new earth, and the old will pass away. And once again, all things become new, but now this time, under the authority of the Lord. Amen. So what does all this mean to us? What actually struck me about is that all of us here present that are hearing this message, just like of Israel of old, have a chance to partake in every one of these times of refreshing. That's what God is saying. Hello, somebody. You're not going to die. You're going to live in Christ. You won't die. You're not going to hell, God forbid. You're going to be in the heavenlies, depending on your time and your order. But you will see all these things come to pass, and you may be worthy to partake of them. When you come to earth with the armies of God following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was riding on a white horse, and his saints followed with him. The armies of heaven. Who are the armies of heaven? Called. Thank you, Pastor Day. Pastor Abraham. Called, chosen, and faithful. You will see all these things. We will see it. We'll partake of it. We'll see the wonder of the creation of a new heavens and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. And then guess what? God will now come down. Oh, these sound like fables. But it's something that you and I can believe God for, look for, and you can eventually partake of and receive. You'll be part of that, and then you'll come for the eternal kingdom that will never end. Where there's only righteousness. And God will give you maybe 10 or 10, 10 planets, possibly if it's get 20. You know? Say amen. Say amen. Maybe even more, you know? You never know. Amen? But the essence is, it's available. That's why it's being preached. But so the kingdom of God is preached, and all men press in. Let's press into it. Let's press into this time of refreshing. Let's press into these times of restitution of all that are about to begin before our very eyes. And we'll see the goodness of the Lord, the righteousness of God upon us. One last thing, God is also bringing refreshing and restoration in your own individual lives on this earth. In Joel chapter 2, it says that God will restore unto you the years and the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the power has stolen. God will restore your years of refreshing to you in the name of Jesus. Everything the devil has stolen from you, your peace, your joy, all these wonderful things that God has promised us, God will restore and make full restitution in this day by the power of the Spirit, through the unction of the power of the Spirit without measure, as you receive the times of refreshing and partake in the times of the restitution of all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's speak with the Lord. Hallelujah. I trust we all got something out of this morning. The times ahead are great times, folks. Let me say, give that scripture. Put it back. I restore. Yes, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cattle, the caterpillar, and the power of my great army which I send amongst you. Next verse. And you shall eat in plenty. Be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord of God that has dealt wondrous with you. And my people shall never be ashamed in this time of refreshing. Hallelujah. God bless you. I speak to the Lord. He said many things today. We trust that the Lord has helped us a little bit. So we've been able to see where God is taking us to. Amen. Oh Lord. Just as it was for natural Israel then. These words reverberating from the centuries past now come to minister unto us today. What a great privilege. That's why I said this word, this incorruptible, everlasting word of the gospel, so powerful. He was talking to the first fruits earnest, but look down through the ages. He's speaking unto us also. Talks about times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, the times of restitution of all things as which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What a mighty God we serve. Ha! Times of refreshing, leading us into the times of the restitution of all things. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord for his mercy to be partakers of these great events and about to spring forth. Behold, I do a new thing, and now shall it spring forth. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord, my God, in your presence, that's where I belong.
Yes, Lord.
Seek in your face, touch in your grace. Father, I thank you. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word today that's come to give me an understanding of the times of refreshing and the times of the restoration of all things. We say thank you, Lord God, because I understand it is only in your presence, in the Spirit, and the fullness of joy and the refreshing comes. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me this understanding. And by your mercies, you want me to be an avenue of refreshing, to bring life, the water of refreshing in the Word, to all the earth in this imminent manifestation of the sons of God, which the whole earth is waiting for as the Lord comes to his church to raise up the people in righteousness. Heavenly Father, I beseech you for fresh mercy. I covenant with you that by your mercies and your great grace, O Lord, I will seek your face. Hide me in the cleft of your rock, O Lord, and cause, Lord, in this year, through fasting and prayer, Lord, praying constantly in tongues to commune, to receive the refreshing that comes only in your presence, to perfect the love of God by using the blood, the word, and the spirit. So I'll be prepared as a vessel meet for your use in this day, to bring refreshing to all the earth, beginning from this land where the rivers divide, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, through the outpouring of your spirit without measure, and the mighty works that you will do by your great grace through me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, because as I do this, you'll also cause me to partake of the times of restitution of all things, to see the restoration not only of my own physical and human circumstances, but also the restoration of the whole earth as the Lord Jesus comes to his church and then comes to restore the earth and to submit it back to you. Thank you for these things you have spoken since before time began. And because you have spoken it, we know, I know of a certainty that it shall surely come to pass. Have mercy upon me, and I'll be a partaker of all these great deeds, these mighty works upon the earth, beginning in this year of great grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray this way. Risen bala papu saka no kubika. Rambelo me seleba mayanda na kudomri akara. Rembele mala masaka do kaliando. Rembele mama sopere. Rembele masaka do yere salamoma. Mambele. Rembele seleba perele na. Rekembala isek. Rembele o sharade kere. Fanele mala o yebele belu kubaka masama. Mere mama kaka so kubele maka do bele mala kazo. Rembele mama ipe. Bende mala mo. Bele mala mo. Sele mala mo. Mamba no mala be. Rembele sete kubaba bente no mama akali. Rembele balu bala. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we give you praise. Lord, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.